Welcome to Health Talk Radio Africa, the show that inspires you to improve your health, educates you on health and nutrition issues. We offer practical tips on daily living so you can have better health. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, a doctor in nutritional sciences, talking to you from the city in the sun, Nairobi, Kenya. Episode of Health Talk Radio Africa, and I thank you for joining me again today. Hunger causes many problems for Africa's children. Hunger causes children to be thin or short. There are two scientific words used to describe children affected by hunger. They are wasted or stunted. When a child is wasted, that child is underweight for their age. Or when a child is stunted, that means that the child is short for their age. Sadly, the effects of hunger on the child last a lifetime. The negative impact to the country, the family, and the individual is enormous. It's like the proverbial elephant in the room. We all can see it. We all get immune to hearing about hunger and its effects. We get tired of seeing in television or reading on newspapers or even hearing on the radio about extremely thin children needing to be fed. Even healthcare professionals and nutritionists like myself can get desensitized to the problem of how hunger affects our children, the country, and even the whole African continent. Sadly, eventually we all come face to face with a problem, and we have to deal with the effects of hunger one way or another. My days of awakening came in three waves this month. At my child's school, parents were asked to watch with their children a special singer who had been invited to entertain the children. By surprise, the school had also invited children from a poorer section of the city. Let me tell you, it was an extremely difficult afternoon for me as a nutritionist. This is because the children from the poorer section of the city looked 2 years younger than their age mates. They were much thinner and shorter than the rest of the other children. And then, the same month, some relatives came to visit, and there were several children who were thin in this family. These relatives were a well-to-do family, but the children were thin due to the ignorance of the parents. Then, the baptism of fire. The World Food Program released some grim statistics on the economic impact of hunger on Africa. The statistics are staggering. Whether you live in the north or south, east or west of Africa, the statistics are not encouraging at all. Let's take North Africa. Let's go to Egypt. Egypt spends at least 2% of its gross domestic product to fight hunger. The cost of hunger in Ethiopia is actually 16% of its gross domestic product. In East Africa, Uganda spends close to 6% of its gross domestic product to fight hunger. Rwanda spends 11% of its gross domestic product. Southern Africa is not that better. Let's go to Malawi. Malawi spends 10% of its gross domestic product to fight hunger. West Africa is not any better. Ghana spends at least 6% of its gross domestic product to fight the effects of hunger. That's just to name a few of the African countries. Now you're probably wondering, of all the statistics, how does hunger affect you in your family? How does it come in your doorstep? According to the World Food Program, hunger does the following or has the following effects. 18% of the children who repeat school in any country in Africa, it's because of the effects of hunger. 44% of the child's deaths in Africa are associated with undernutrition or the effects of hunger. More than 45% of children who underperform. Did you hear that word? 45% of children who underperform or underachieve in school, it's due to the effects of hunger. There is a 14% reduction in the national workforce in my country of Kenya due to the effects of hunger. Yes, a 14% reduction in the national workforce, guys. I saw x-ray of two brains. One was a normal brain and the other one was from a stunted or a wasted child. The brain of the wasted child or the stunted child was much smaller than the normal child. They have even less nerve connections. That's what the hunger does to the brain. Less nerve connections. What will that do to the child? No wonder they are underperforming. This program is for you parents. For you folks out there who know one thin child, one malnourished child, from your immediate family, from your extended family, or from your community. This program is on how to increase the weight of a thin child or a malnourished child in a healthy way. We are going to tackle hunger plate by plate. First thing I'd like you to remember, if you forget everything else, that no matter what little food that the child eats, it must be packed with as much nutrients as possible. The foods that to give the child energy, foods to rebuild the body. In this program, I'm going to show you or make several suggestions to fight hunger. Plate by plate, I would suggest pick two or three suggestions that suit your taste and your pocket, and then follow through to help this malnourished or this thin child you're thinking about. Let's start with a household staple, or maize meal or maize flour, which is cooked in many countries in Africa, south of the Sahara. Well, usually maize meal or maize flour is usually cooked with water. Plain water, we cook it, becomes a nice big lump. And we call it ugali, fufu, papa, depending on which part of the continent you're from. I would suggest for you one thing. You can take oil, liquid oil, and just add 3 or 4 tablespoons of oil to the water, and then you can continue cooking your maize meal as usual. Adding oil to the water adds calories for energy, and slowly over time, the child will gain weight. to the water again. You can also add milk or even sour milk, plain sour milk, and continue cooking as usual. If you don't have any of those, you can take milk powder and add 3 tablespoons of milk powder to the maize meal flour. Mix it up really well and then continue cooking as usual. The milk gives protein which will rebuild the child's body. If you added fresh milk or fermented milk or sour milk to the water, the milk will also give protein to the child and rebuild the body. Let's talk about the other family staples that you may cook. Other family staples can be all rice, spaghetti, pasta. You can add, let me put it this way. Usually these are just boiled with plain water. Just like the maize meal, you can add 2 to 3 tablespoons of oil or margarine to the water and continue cooking your rice or pasta or spaghetti as usual. There are other family staples that you may be eating, like potatoes, banana, or plantain if you live, let's say, in Uganda. When you're cooking these potatoes or boiling them, you can do the same. You can add 2 or 3 tablespoons of margarine or oil and continue boiling as usual. Or you can wait until the potatoes, the bananas or plantain are cooked and then drain the water and then add the oil or add the margarine. Some people like to mash the potatoes or mash the cassava or mash the plantain. When you're mashing, you can add oil, 2 or 3 tablespoonfuls will be adequate, or you can add 2 or 3 tablespoons of margarine. This oil or margarine really increases the calories of the staple of potatoes, cassava, or plantain to increase the calories for energy for the child. Other things that you may consider adding to the potatoes are mayonnaise instead of plain oil or margarine. You may also consider adding milk or milk powder. Milk powder really improves the taste of potatoes and increases calories and protein at the same time to rebuild the child's body. Let's talk about porridge. Many African households have porridge or make porridge, whether it is made with maize meal or mixed with sorghum or millet or just made with plain sorghum or millet or even oats. Porridge can really make a big improvement in the child's body weight and even health. Now, porridge is usually cooked with plain water and then you add sugar to taste. This time, you can actually manipulate and change the porridge to such a way that you increase calories and you increase protein. For example, in the water that you're going to cook porridge with, you can add oil, you can add milk or eggs. Let's take, for example, I know it would be difficult to cook porridge for the entire family made with milk, eggs, and oil. But we are talking about that thin child, that well-nourished child. So take a little bit of water, and you can cook enough for two portions. Take 1 cup of milk, put it in a saucepan, take a cup of water at room temperature, mix it with the milk, beat 1 egg and add it to the water and milk, and then also take 3 tablespoons of liquid oil and add it all together in the pot. And then you can mix in the flour for the porridge, whether it is maize meal, whether it's made with mixed in with sorghum or millet, or if it's just plain maize meal or plain sorghum or millet. And then on very low heat, slowly cook this mixture, porridge mixture, all the time you're stirring. You're stirring the mixture, and it will slowly thicken on low heat. Cooking on low heat will make sure that the egg doesn't clump up. This will be enough for 2 servings for the child. You can give the child in the morning and in the afternoon. Alternative, you can make a big batch of porridge and give this special porridge to the child as often as you can, even 3 or 4 times during the day and just before bedtime. The protein will come from the eggs, the milk, and it will rebuild the child's body. The calories will be increased because of the oil. I did forget to say you can even put sugar to taste. This is a special porridge. Really, really special, and it can do wonders for the child. If egg and milk is not available at all, just the plain action of adding oil to the water or margarine to the water and adding flour to continue with the making of the porridge will add significant amount of calories to the child. Let's leave porridge for a short while and go to tea. Yes, simple things like tea can also go a long way. For the child, you can make tea with only milk, just plain milk instead of water. And of course, you're going to sweeten it, and that little amount of milk or that cupful of milk will give in protein to rebuild the child's body. Now, I know if getting fresh milk is a problem, always just use oil in whatever you're cooking. There is no milk, no problem. Just add oil. My next suggestion comes from an exotic country of Uganda. Ugandans have a lovely, lovely peanut butter sauce. And I would suggest that you would buy a jar of peanut butter. And at supper time or at lunch time, you can add a tablespoon of peanut butter in the child's sauce that you have made to eat with a staple. So on the child's plate, add a tablespoonful in the sauce, and this will make peanut sauce. Peanut butter is an excellent source of protein and an excellent source of calories. So it helps rebuild the child's body, and it helps give the child calories for energy for running around. Peanut butter is actually so versatile. So you can use it in so many things, not just bread. Let's suppose you made that maize meal staple for last night's supper, and you have a little bit left over. You can warm up the maize meal staple, warm it and cut it up in cubes. And then with a little bit of a teaspoon or a knife, you can smear peanut butter on and then sprinkle some sugar on this maize meal with peanut butter, or you can even add jam. This is an excellent snack, which is high in calories and high in protein. Oh God, and it is so tested by so many children. Peanut butter on crackers with jam has been tried and tested by generations of children across the globe. The peanut butter, as I said, is really excellent source of calories and protein to give energy and protein. Let's go back to the meals. We've talked about the family staple, such as the maize meal, the rice, the spaghetti, the potatoes, the cassava. Let's talk about the other food items that you'll give with a staple. We have said you can put peanut butter in soup or sauces and make peanut sauce. My other suggestion is let's give lentils or green grams. They can be a valuable addition to the child's meals. When cooked in sauces and eaten with a family staple, lentils or green grams are very high in protein and very high in fiber. The protein, as I said, keeps rebuilding the child's body, and the fiber helps the child, helps to reduce constipation. If you can give green grams or lentils at least twice a day, just 2 or 3 tablespoonfuls with the child's supper or lunch, it will help quite a bit. I would always go further, and I would recommend to add 2 tablespoons of oil to the child's plate, no matter what you have on the plate, whether it is soup, whether it is lentils, anything that is on the plate. Always be in the behavior of adding 2 tablespoons of oil. Why do I keep saying oil? Because oil is tasteless, and it actually mixes in with the soup, with sauces, with vegetables. Another thing you can try is give fermented milk or sour milk or yogurt. Whichever name you like, yogurt, fermented milk or sour milk, whether it is sweetened or plain, to taste it, it's usually very acceptable to most children. I would really recommend you can give it alone or with a family staple. There are communities that eat sour milk or fermented milk with just plain cooked maize meal. That is excellent. Or you can give yogurt with rice and sweeten it. It's an excellent snack. Or you can even add pasta to the yogurt, or you can even take any fruit in season, cut it up, and give it with yogurt, sweetened this time. These are excellent snacks, folks. They can really boost the child's weight up. Given twice a day or 3 times a day, you will notice a significant weight gain in 1 month. Other snacks such as peanuts or groundnuts or any nuts that you can buy are really excellent sources of protein. Well, south of the Sahara in Africa, peanuts are really the most pocket friendly. And they're sold everywhere. They're sold by many vendors out in the bus stops, open air markets, because a lot of women make a living cooking and repackaging the peanuts for people who are traveling, walking, on their way home. These are really excellent sources of protein and calories. But I'll be cautioning you, peanuts can trigger allergies in children. So you just have to be careful. If your child is got an allergy to peanut, please don't try this, all right? But peanuts as a snack go very well with a lot of other snacks and with a lot of other foods. I've mainly talked about vegetarian foods or non-animal foods. Now let's talk about animal protein. The best body building foods are the meat, fish, chicken and eggs. They're animal protein. This, if you're able to buy, and I really emphasize that, if you're able to buy them, try to give the child, the thin child, these foods at least twice a day. If not, at least try to give one egg every day. Just a boiled egg, or however you're going to cook it, I would recommend a boiled egg. Cut it up and add it to the child's food. This will add really good, high biological value protein for the child. And it will help them rebuild the child's body. When these animal protein foods are not available, it is okay to always fall back to giving 2 tablespoonfuls of lentils with every meal, especially lunch or supper. Lentils or green grams, I would really bet on that. Remember, folks, remember that any little food that the underweight child can try to eat must be packed with a lot of energy, a lot of protein. This way it will help the child regain back his or her weight and energy to do other things. We've talked about food, but we haven't talked about really how often you should feed a child who is thin or malnourished. If possible, feed every 2.5 hours, maximum 3. I say 2.5 hours because you must give the child time to get hungry. But you don't want to go for long hours. If the child is not hungry, they will not eat the little food you have prepared for him or her. So maximum 3 hours, best every 2 hours. 2.5. Every 2.5. Please, folks, mom and dads, caregivers, take the child outside to play. Physical activity helps to rebuild the child's body. The more they engage in physical activity, the more lean body tissue they make. Let them run, let them swim, let them roll up in the dirt. The more active they are, the better the body. Remember, folks, the effects of bad eating or poor nutrition take time to show up on the human body. But it also takes time for the effects of bad eating to go away or to reduce or disappear. So choose 2 or 3 suggestions that I've made or talked about. And then give the child time, that is months or even years, to recover, depending on how bad or how severe the malnutrition. A child whose weight is low does not recover instantly, but with time you will notice a big difference if you follow through on your 2 or 3 suggestions. Dear listeners, the effects of hunger in children last a lifetime until they die. We can tackle hunger plate by plate by making sure that the little we give is as nutritious as possible. Please, please, let us not rob our children their full potential. It is devastating to see an adult who can barely think or perform anything at all because of poor eating during childhood. Dear listeners, wow, how time flies. That's all I have for you for this episode. But I'm going to request you one thing. There is one saying from India, and it goes like this. What is not shared is lost. Listeners out there, please help me educate and reach that one thin, malnourished child who needs this information. Let us save this one thin, malnourished child that you may know about. So, please, I'm going to ask you, don't let this episode be lost. Share it with a friend, share it with a relative, share it with a colleague, share it on social media. Let us make this episode reach as many people as you can. That's all I have for you today, folks. Until next time, remember to eat healthy so you can live healthy. Bye for now. At Health Talk Radio Africa. I hope you have enjoyed today's program and will join us for the next episode. If you have any questions or comments, contact me directly via email, which is healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Remember, at Health Talk Radio Africa, we discuss health and nutrition issues that affect Africa. We offer practical solutions from the experts. Please subscribe to the program and share with friends. This way the program can be more visible and help as many people as possible. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, wishing you a fantastic time.